Welcome back to another episode of Faith on the Go podcast. This episode is from December 1st, 2024, the first Sunday of Advent. We welcome a guest preacher today, Pastor David Reby of Breaking the Chains Church. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Our first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 33. In the Old Testament, righteousness often has to do with being faithful in relationship. God acts righteously both in punishing Israel for its sin and having mercy. In today's reading, Jerusalem's future name, the Lord is our righteousness, proclaims that God is even now working salvation for Israel. We read, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up from David. And he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord." Our second reading today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Upon Timothy's report from the congregation at Thessalonica, Paul is exuberant with gratitude for them. In this passage from his letter, Paul voices overflowing thanks, joy, and blessings for the people of this growing church. We read, "How can we thank God enough for you in return, for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see your face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter, the 25th through the 36th verse. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Then he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near too. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and the day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." And this is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Will you please bow your heads for a moment and pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation in all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Grace and peace to you, my friends of faith, from God our Creator and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I can't believe that it's been a year since I was last with you. And I was thinking to myself as I was driving in this morning that this time last year, it was snowing like crazy. Do you remember the day I came? I wondered whether I was going to make it here on time. But I'm glad I'm here with you again today. And I want to start by qualifying something that Pastor John said at the beginning when he introduced me. I am the pastor of Breaking the Chains Church, now not just at one prison, but at two. We now have a satellite location at the Kenosha Correctional Center as well as Felmers Cheney. And I want to share some good news with you. We have just started a third church. We have planted a church that rotates that is called Breaking Bread with Breaking the Chains. It is for alumni of our congregation who used to worship with us when they were still inside and are now back in the community. You see, this is something that's been a dream of mine for a couple years, and the Holy Spirit has kept tapping me on the shoulder and say, David, you got to give this a try. And we've now done it three times. We do it about once a month. We gather and have dinner together. We stay connected with men who were formerly incarcerated. We share God's word and reflect upon it, and we have communion together, and it is a beautiful time. And we have committed to keeping this ministry going into the new year and into the future. But I want to talk to you this morning about the season of Advent and an experience that I had this time last year. We had started doing a lighting of an Advent candle like you do here about 2 years ago, and ours looks like this. It's a tiny little tea candle. You see, in prison, we are worshiping in a very highly regulated environment, and there are no open flames. So we had to jump through some hoops to be able to bring these in, but we got them approved. And we started lighting these each week of Advent about 2 years ago. Last year, we were 2 weeks into Advent, and one of the men who worships with us stopped me and said, Pastor David, I've never heard the word Advent before, and I don't know what it means. Why are we doing this? Note to self, don't assume that your congregants always know what you are doing in worship, especially when most of them are not Lutherans, but come from other faith traditions. So I decided this year, and we did this last night, to start by talking a little bit about what Advent means. And I want to share with you some of what I shared with the men last night. Advent is the season of anticipating the coming of Jesus, our King and our Messiah, into this world. And the word comes from, you may already know this, from two Latin words, ad and veni, which means to come. So we are anticipating the coming of Jesus coming into the world to be with us. But I think one of the things that we way too often do is we associate the season of Advent only with the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. We associate it with Christmas. Yet Jesus comes to us in many ways, does he not? He comes to us in the continual presence of the Eucharist, which we're going to celebrate here this morning, and in our everyday lives. Sometimes our eyes are closed and we don't recognize his presence, but Jesus is always here, isn't he? And then we also acknowledge and remember the second coming of Christ and the final day of judgment. And when we light these four Advent candles, the first of which we lighted here this morning, we typically think of four themes, and they are hope, peace, joy, and love. We started last night at our service talking about hope. And I spent a little bit of time this past week getting ready and doing my homework about Advent and hope. And I came across this beautiful sermon by a pastor, John Mark Comer, for Oregon. And he said something that really caught my attention, and it's this. He says that in America, we've made hope secular, and we left Jesus out of what hope is all about. Think about that. We talk about hope a lot these days, don't we? We do it to talk about wishful thinking, Like, I hope it's going to be a sunny day today, and we got our hope fulfilled this morning, didn't we? We might also say that we hope it's going to snow on Christmas Day, but not too much, so that we'll still be able to travel and be with our family and friends. And then we also have this perpetual positive outlook. It's a kind of optimism that, well, no matter what happens, the best is yet to come, right? No matter what happens today, things are gonna get better, and everything is gonna be okay. And then I like what he says about statistics and probability as a way of talking about hope. And I'm gonna give you my own example. We've just completed a very contentious election season in America, have we not? And we've all been hopeful that enough people will vote for our political candidate of choice, and that once our candidate gets elected, well, everything's gonna turn out the way I want it to be, right? All my dreams for what life will be like in America, well, they're all going to come to fruition if we just elect the right candidate. And as I thought about that example, it sounds a lot to me like we make hope about what we want, right? It's all about us. And you all know what happens when we make it all about us. Doesn't sound so much like hope to me. It sounds more like sin. Instead of putting our hope and trust in Jesus, we're putting our hope and trust in what we want, what we hope will happen. Maybe, just maybe, we put our hope in the wrong places and we forgot about Jesus. So this morning, as we begin the first Sunday of Advent, you may have been expecting a very warm and fuzzy Hallmark story, if you will, on the first Sunday of Advent, when we are focusing on hope. But on the first Sunday of Advent, and we do this every year, it always begins not with the first coming of Jesus in Bethlehem, but the second coming and the Day of Judgment. You see, my friends, the gospel that I just shared with you from Luke was written to very early followers of Jesus who had seen the temple where God lived among them destroyed. And they were under a very oppressive Roman regime, and they were hoping that Jesus would be the Messiah, the one to come and make things right about. And by the time he was crucified on the cross and died and rose from the dead, well, that Roman regime was still there. And they were kind of disappointed. And they couldn't wait for Jesus to come again. And it couldn't happen soon enough. And today, we're still waiting. I suspect that they were losing hope. Maybe they had put their hope in the wrong place as well. And this lesson has often been described as apocalyptic, a big word we don't often talk about. And what apocalyptic means is that it's supposed to be a message about hope and patience and remaining faithful when people are going through a time of intense suffering. But the lesson that we heard this morning begins with a very dreadful story. A story of the earth in distress and people fainting in fear. It's not the kind of story that we share with our children in Sunday school or that we do the children's message about. And you might be asking yourself about now, where is the hope in this gospel message? You see, my friends, I think it is here. While some people are living in fear, waiting for the second coming of Jesus, Jesus tells his followers and us to stand up and raise our heads and know that the redemption is near. That is good news, my friends. I don't hear anything of fear in that verse. And if we have been faithful and we've repented and trust in the promise of Jesus in the forgiveness of sins, there's nothing to fear about that second coming, but it's something rather to look forward to. But if on the other hand, we fail to take responsibility for the ways we have failed to love God and neighbor as ourselves and our shortcomings, if we've only worried about ourselves and worldly things, things that will not last but will pass away, and we've made our hope about ourselves and what we can do, well, that second coming is not going to be a day of redemption. It's going to be a day of judgment. I want to share with you a definition of hope from Scripture that I adapted from Pastor Comer. It says that hope is the expectation of the coming good based on the person and the promises of Jesus, God revealed to us. You see, when Jesus comes again, all things will be made right. And in the meantime, we live in the in-between time between his first coming and the second coming. And we are living in a time, my friends, of trials and tribulations, many of them. Hope is what keeps us going and gives us the strength and the courage to trust that Jesus will indeed come again. So I want to tell you a little bit about our worship last night and how it's quite different from many forms of worship you may know. I try not to preach very long. I only share 2 or 3 minutes of reflection with the men. And then I put some questions out for them to dwell on and to share their reflections. We call it group preaching because we learn and we grow in our faith from one another. And one of the questions I asked the men last night is, how do you remain hopeful and faithful while you're sitting here in prison and waiting for the second coming of Jesus? And I want to share with you my summary of what the men shared with us. You see, prisons can be often violent and chaotic places, even in minimum security places like Felmer's Chaney. People are not very friendly to one another. They put their macho on and they want to show that they're a tough guy, even when there's no reason to be so. And one of the men said that one of the ways we remain ready and alert, waiting for the second coming of Jesus, is to form a safe community where at least for 1 hour a week, we can come together and we can take responsibility for our past mistakes and know that we're not going to be judged, but together we can trust in the promise of Jesus and forgiveness and know that everybody is redeemable when they repent. Wow. And then another very simple thing that somebody mentioned was that instead of putting that tough guy demeanor on, what if we just practiced a little kindness and gentleness with one another? And instead of swearing at somebody when you walk by them in the hallway, just say, "Hey, John, how you doing today? Good to see you." And then very importantly, the men look forward to becoming members of Breaking Bread with Breaking the Chains when they come out, because we've been telling them about that new ministry. And they are looking forward to becoming members of that supportive community that stands together when people come back from being incarcerated. Because, my friends, I don't know if you know this, it's much harder to come home from prison and come back to the community than it is even to be inside. And while there's no magic that happens at Breaking the Bread, we once again gather in a safe place and we let everybody know they're welcome and they're forgiven, and there's no judgment. My friends, I can't wait to tell you more about some of the amazing things that are happening at Breaking the Chains when we gather for forum afterwards. But I have a new message that I've been spreading, and I want to make sure you all hear it. Bishop Paul has heard it, and I'm saying it to him over and over again, and I want you to commit it to memory and share it too. Breaking the Chains is not the largest congregation in the Greater Milwaukee Synod, but it's the fastest growing, and it's a vibrant congregation where everybody comes to know the love and mercy and forgiveness of Jesus. The fastest growing and a vibrant place. Thanks for listening. I look forward to talking to you more. Amen.
So I hadn't told Pastor David about this, but we have a practice here at Faith of taking some time for some silent reflection of how God is speaking. And so I invite you to take some time to reflect, and then I'll invite us to join in our hymn. So we take some time for silence.